Amen. It's so good to be with y'all. I'm very honored that Brad and Pastor Gabe asked me to speak this morning to you. And before we get started, I just really felt strongly from the Lord that he wanted me to just take a little bit of time and talk about grace. So Christianity, the religion of Christianity, is the only religion that actually has this attribute of grace. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, we see where Jesus says, or actually I think it was Paul says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. So it is by grace, and grace is defined by God's ability. So through God's ability, are we actually saved? So basically what that means is Christianity is about surrendering to Christ and his ability in us. It's not about what we can do. It's about what Jesus has already done and accomplished. And we receive that. We receive what Jesus accomplished through grace. And so I truly believe this morning that God is wanting to impart to us this new measure of grace so that we can walk and we can live in the power and the authority of Christ in us. So I just want to take a minute and I want to pray for us. So if you this morning, you really want to receive this new impartation of grace, I'm going to pray that over us. And I don't always understand how God does things, but I know that through our surrender and through our act of asking that he comes in and he empowers us to live a grace-filled life. So if you want that this morning, if you want a new impartation of grace, God's ability, not our ability, not my ability, not your ability, but God's ability, the true gift of Christianity. It's not about what we do, my friends. It's about Jesus. And if you want that, I invite you right now in your living rooms to just open up your hands and open up your heart, and I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to begin our message. So God, I truly believe right now, God, you are doing what only you can do in our hearts, and you are imparting into your children this understanding and this revelation and this divine, incredible gift of grace. So Jesus, I just ask you to just move away any barriers, move away, God, ways of thinking, God, that question, Father, the truth of your scripture. And I pray right now, just in the way that only you do, that you would impart grace to us, God. Your ability within us, God, not out of our own might or power, God, but by your spirit, the grace of God to walk forward in a manner worthy of the calling that you have placed on each of us individually. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 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 You know, a long time ago, I taped this little, it's a little green postcard to the mirror in my bathroom. And it says, peace is a person, not a place. It's been a saying that I've meditated on every day and something that makes me go back to the core of what I believe, but honestly, really challenges me and confronts me in the way I live my everyday life. And so this morning, I want to look at what the Bible says about peace. And I want to see how we can apply that truth to the from the scriptures to our everyday lives, and especially apply that truth about peace to our homes. So the title of my message today is Establishing Peace in Your Homes. And like Brad said earlier, and this really is a message that I have and we have as a family fought for. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But the text of this message is John chapter 14, verse 27. but I really want to look at the whole chapter of John 14. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14, and we're going to kind of just summarize the first part of this scripture and then get to the end with verse 27. So if you notice at the beginning of John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's reassuring his disciples in that very first part of John 14 that it's okay for him to go. So Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's telling his disciples, it's okay that I go, because I am preparing a place for you. I'm going to heaven, and I am preparing a place for you, and I'll return for you. And then Jesus goes on, and he talks about his oneness with God. And he says that because of that oneness, when we believe in Jesus, we will do the same things that Jesus has done, and even greater. We find that in verse 12, where Jesus says, you'll even do greater things than I've done. So Jesus, first, he's telling his disciples, hey, it's okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to heaven. I'm preparing a place for you. And guess what? Because I'm one with God, you will do even greater things than I have done if you believe in me. And then he goes on to say this incredible truth about the Holy Spirit. And I love this. He says, it's good for me to leave because I will send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. And he'll be with you forever. And I want to read John 14, verses 16 to 17. And this is what it says. Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying to us today, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides or he lives in you and will be in you. I love that. You see, as soon as Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit, he goes into this incredible concept of truth that we find in verse 27. So John 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I want you to understand the power of this scripture this morning. Jesus says to us today, I'm leaving to prepare a place for you. I'm one with God, so you can do everything I've done and even greater things. I'm sending you a helper, the Holy Spirit. He'll abide in you. He'll be with you forever if you believe. And this Holy Spirit is your peace. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You see, when we're able to receive the Holy Spirit, then the peace of Jesus abides in us. In that moment, church, peace is no longer a place, it's a person. In that moment, you are now a carrier of the peace of God. So what does that look like in our homes? When our mindset finally shifts to no longer, I want this place to be my peace, but I'm a carrier of the peace of God. That is the question, and that is the revelation I truly believe God wants to impart to you today through his grace. Because see, so often as people, we are looking for this place of peace. Instead of realizing through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we are a carrier of peace. So I want to give you three things today that will help you establish this truth in your heart. The first one is we must recognize that we're in a battle. It is so important that you recognize and acknowledge that there is a battle waging. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our battle is not against flesh and blood." So it's not against your husband or your children or your coworkers or your boss. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, there is truth in the saying, if you want peace, prepare for war. Satan, from the very beginning, has wanted to destroy our families. It's important for us to recognize that and to call it what it is, a spiritual battle. But here's key, friends, Jesus defeated. It is a spiritual battle, but we must not give credit where we must not give credit to the enemy. Jesus defeated the battle on the cross. It's our job to step into God's grace and our authority, like Brad talked about last week, and to be carriers of that divine peace that comes through the Holy Spirit. So number one, we must recognize we're in a battle. If you're ever going to have peace established in your homes, you're going to recognize that there is a battle waging and Jesus won. Number two, we must embrace humility and repentance. You know, I don't think there's ever been a message that I've given that I haven't talked a little bit about repentance. And I don't think there's been a message ever that Brad's delivered that he hasn't talked about humility. And so today, I'm gonna merge the two together. If we are going to be established in peace this morning, we must embrace humility and repentance. So what does that look like practically? If I'm not living a life that's being led by the Holy Spirit, I will never be a carrier of his peace. I'll be overcome by the enemy and his schemes to devour myself, my family, and my home. You know, every day we must be honest. It's a gift to us to really be honest and vulnerable and admit that we need the Holy Spirit. And that is such an act of humility when we actually surrender and say, God, I can't do this without you. And so every moment of every day, a prayer that's been on my heart for a long time is this, and I want to share it with you. Holy Spirit, I need you to fill me with your peace. I'm nothing without you. I can't do this on my own. Forgive me for trying to do this without you, and change my thinking. So my thoughts and my feelings are your thoughts and your feelings. Church, we live in this culture of self-discovery or self-help. Our bookshelves are full of self-help books. And so naturally, we think part of walking in repentance or walking in humility is something we do ourselves, when really, true repentance is a change of mind. And I can't do that on my own. You can't do that on your own. It has to be a surrender, a response, a prayer to God that he would change your thinking so that you can live out the calling and the truth of the scriptures. No self-help book can change your thinking. Only the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus and the work of the cross. It's a powerful truth, and if you will embrace this, if you will embrace the act of surrender and vulnerability to God every day, minute by minute, it ushers in God's ability. It ushers in God's grace so that we're carriers of his divine peace. You know, I honestly do not think anyone wants to live in chaos. I know we don't. I just think sometimes we forget to surrender to God. so that he can replace that chaos with his peace. Church, I believe in you. You can surrender today. You can allow God to replace that chaos with his divine peace through the Holy Spirit. The third way that we establish peace in our homes is by showing love. You see, when people really feel genuine love, it automatically brings peace. I'm going to say that again. When people truly feel genuine love, it automatically brings peace. Why? Because Jesus is love. You see, when our homes are full of love, peace comes naturally. So, love looks like a lot of different things, and I want to just practically yet biblically give you a few ways to show love in your homes today. The first one is found in Ephesians 5, verse 21. And this is, Ephesians 5 is a great chapter of submission. And the other thing I usually find myself teaching when I deliver messages is about wives submitting to husbands. And that's a huge part of peace when women understand that when we choose to submit to our husbands, who we're really submitting to is God, because God is the one who has called us to submission. But the funny thing, and so often we don't talk about this, right before that verse of wives submit to your husbands is this incredible verse in Ephesians 5:21, and it says, be submitted to one another. And, I don't really ever hear many messages from Bravehearts, but I can guarantee on Tuesday mornings, Pastor Brad and Gabe and the other men here are teaching husbands to be also in submission and in agreement with wives. And so I'm so excited today. One way that we show love in our homes is by being submitted to each other. We're a team. Husbands, wives, children. It's important to work together to support and submit to each other. I love occasionally, right? Brad and I disagree. I'm sure y'all don't ever have that in your home. So a few weeks ago, it maybe was a few days ago, I don't know. Brad and I were kind of having a little disagreement, right? And David came in, and he basically lined us both out and said, y'all need Jesus. And, in that moment, Brad and I had a choice to make. We could have said, David, mind your own business and get out of here, and don't you talk to your parents like that. You don't have, have we all done that before? But instead, we both kind of looked at each other, and we were like, wisdom. We need Jesus, And so in that moment, Brad and I chose to be submitted to that word, which is straight from Scripture. David didn't make that up. It's true. We needed Jesus. And so that is just an example, a very simple example of establishing peace in your home when you are able to be submitted to one another. Can you hear the people in your home and really receive from them? That is an act of love, and that is a dynamic, powerful force of peace that can come to your home. You see, we're a team. Family is a team. Don't let the enemy bring division. Amen. Notice, listen, and love. Romans 12:10 says, prefer one another in love. Church, if we're going to have peace in our homes, it's going to be because we learn to be submitted to one another within our home. Okay, so a second way that we show love in meaningful ways is by learning our family's love style or love language. So if you're wanting your home to be a place of peace, you must understand what makes those in your home feel loved. It's powerful. It takes a little work on our part. But if I want peace in my home, I have to learn what makes those in my home feel loved. And so a couple of great books that are going to help you with that, some self-help books, right? Full of scripture and truth. This is probably one of my favorite books. It's called How We Love Our Kids. It's by Millen and Kay Yorkovich. And probably if you've been married recently in the last 10 years or maybe not quite so long in our church, you've received a book similar to this from Brad and I called How We Love. So How We Love is about marriages. How We Love Our Kids is about kids. So I had this copy on my bookshelf, so I grabbed it. Another great resource to really understand the way people in your home love or receive love is, of course, Gary Chapman's The Five Love Languages. And so a lot of people are familiar with that resource. It's been around for a long time. It's a great way to learn your family's love languages so that you can show them meaningful love. Having love in your home is a natural way for there to be peace. So take the time, take the energy, take the resources available to you. If you need any of those books, email me, julie@harvestchristianfellowship.org, and I'll get them to you. I don't want a resource to be what hinders you from receiving revelation and truth about how to love those in your family. So ways we're showing love, just a few examples. I talked about being submitted to one another, love in meaningful ways, and this third way is probably the most important act of love that we can show each other. And that is by really living out 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, it says, "Let your heart be wholly devoted to the Lord your God." If you really want to walk in love and establish peace in your homes, then you have to make choices every day that reflect your devotion to Christ. Because you see, peace is a person. It's not a place. Peace is a person. It's not a place. You know, last week when I opened up in prayer, I was really vulnerable with the truth that God had showed me about how I was carrying disappointments. And one thing that most people don't know, last Sunday, which was May 3rd, was the day that our son David, when he was 5 months old, had a stroke. So May 3rd in 2005, David had a stroke. And that was a huge disappointment to us, you know. But you see, over the course of 24 years of marriage, Brad and I have faced many disappointments. And the best way I know how to describe a disappointment is the loss of a dream. And so when we face a disappointment, we're facing the loss of a dream that we have. And I can't go into every disappointment that Brad and I have faced over the years, but I do want to name a few common disappointments that people in general are prone to carry. So these are just some disappointments that in general people carry. And so I want to name those because sometimes if you have a personality like me, I'm an avoider. And so ways that I avoid things is by not really naming what I'm struggling with. I get busy. I do other things. So it's important if we're going to walk forward and we're going to live established in peace, that we name those things that are bringing chaos to us. And disappointments is a huge one. And so here's just a few disappointments the Lord put on my heart that I really believe people in general are prone to carry. The disappointment of a lost job. The disappointment of a lost loved one. The disappointment of a tragic diagnosis. You know, the crazy thing is, since the loss of Aaron, I've had so many friends who have recently been diagnosed with something tragic. And that is a disappointment. The disappointment of career goals that were never met. The disappointment of divorce. You know, nobody goes into marriage wanting to be divorced. That's not why you get married. And so there is a disappointment that comes with divorce. The disappointment of a wayward child. You know, we don't raise our kids to just go be, you know, rebellious. That's a disappointment. The disappointment of rebellion. The disappointment of addictions. The disappointment of wanting to do the right thing but continually doing the wrong thing. The disappointment of broken promises. The disappointment of infertility. We're facing Mother's Day right now, and there are so many women carrying disappointment in their hearts because of their infertility. The disappointment of being unmarried. You know, I have several friends that long for a godly spouse, and there's disappointment that that hasn't come to pass yet. The disappointment of abandonment. The disappointment of abuse. The disappointment of relational turmoil. You see, with all of these disappointments, whatever it is that you're prone to or that has taken or happened in your life, whatever that disappointment is, there's a temptation to live in chaos and turmoil because of that disappointment instead of experiencing peace. You know, I've spoken of this often, right before David's stroke, that literally the only song that was playing in my car during that time was a song that said, "He is good, he is good, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And I look back now, and I know God was preparing me for that disappointment. You see, a huge loss of a dream had taken place, but yet it has turned into a beautiful story of redemption and purpose and love. But in the middle of our times of disappointment, church, life and chaos and heartache, in the middle of those things, we have a choice to make. Will we lean into the gift of the Holy Spirit? The gift of a helper. The gift of the peace that Jesus so graciously sent to us. The person of peace. And will we in return become a carrier of that peace? Or the other option is to harden our hearts and to wander around in the wilderness like the Israelites did. I truly believe at Harvest Christian Fellowship that we are people who embrace the truth of Scripture and who embrace the gift of the Holy Spirit and who embrace the reality that we are carriers of His peace. I want to leave you today with a powerful scripture found in Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men, so that forbearing, that fighting spirit, be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, I want to challenge you today. Let that scripture be the motto in your family. Choose to live by it. Embrace grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of peace. Before we close with worship, I want to ask you to identify in your life some areas that you need to embrace so that you can be a carrier of God's peace. So this is the application part of our message, and this is the part that sometimes it's easy to check out on. So I want to challenge you to really take a minute right now where you're at. Okay, stop scrolling on Facebook. Hey, I've done worship at home, right? I've been there. So stop scrolling at Facebook. Take a minute right here and identify areas that you need to embrace so that you can be a carrier of God's peace. Do you need to receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit? That would be the first thing I ask you. Do you need to submit to others in your home and learn to work together and support each other? Do you need to embrace humility and repentance? Do you need to learn to love? That's a huge one. Can you prefer others in love? Or do you need to be fully devoted to Christ? You see, when we're able to embrace these truths, it liberates our family and the atmosphere in our homes. And I want to tell you the truth. If Brad and I can do this, you can do this. So would you stand with me? And I want to pray over us before we worship. Jesus, I know that there have been a lot of words spoken this morning. And I just believe right now in our homes, you are prompting people exactly where they need to be prompted, God. And you are speaking, whispering to their hearts those things that they need to embrace and ask for. Those things they need to surrender to, God. Those things that they need to lay down. Father, I pray that any of the disappointments that I named today, God, if that spoke to anyone, God, that they would just, with humility and repentance and vulnerability, God, that they would be able to really lay those at your feet. God, I trust you today to move in ways that no one else can in our hearts and in our minds and especially in our homes. It's in your name we pray. Amen.